The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Adapted by Sebastian Bonchkevich. Part 3.
Wednesday, most honored friends.
My hand! You're standing on my hand!
Benedetto Benedetti.
Who wants to know?
Is your name Benedetto Benedetti?
Yes, yes!
Now, Benedetto Benedetti, may I assume I have your full attention?
The world turns on a Wednesday.
Yes, yes, monsieur, completely.
A Wednesday in Marseille.
And this is your lucky day.
Who are you?
I'm the person who's about to change your life.
What?
You are to present yourself at this address in Paris, exactly 1 week from today. You understand?
Paris!
Do you understand?
Yes, yes! Just please, take your foot off my hand.
Another cup of tea, Monsieur Jacopo?
And a Wednesday in Paris.
Thank you.
Now, what was it that you were asking?
1 week later.
I believe you were a midwife, Madame Lassalle. In a house in Auteuil, number 28, Rue de la Fontaine.
No, monsieur, I was a housekeeper, nothing more.
But you did serve at that address 20 years ago, did you not?
I did, yes.
Then you will recall, I'm sure, the young couple who turned up there one night in some distress. The house was empty. There was a storm, wind and rain. Terrible business.
No, I can't say that
the young man was Gerard de Villefort, Crown Prosecutor of Paris.
Please, monsieur, I have sworn, solemnly sworn, never to speak
of... Do sit down, madame. And she was... Now, there's the thing. Who was she?
There was a gardener at Auteuil. Bertuccio. His name was Bertuccio. He can tell you better than I. Find Bertuccio.
Bertuccio did not deliver a baby that night. Now, please, Madame Lassalle, be good enough to open that bag.
What are these?
Diamonds.
Diamonds?
Worth just over 200,000 francs. A sum which would keep a poor widow such as yourself comfortable until the very end of her days, as well as securing a future for all five of her grandchildren.
But if the Crown Prosecutor should suspect that I...
He will never find you, madame. Man I work for will provide you with a new home down south. Somewhere warm. Montpellier is very nice, I hear. Now, her name.
Radishes, my friend. I grow radishes. And lettuces. Them lettuces won a prize last year.
Mmm. Delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Told you, didn't I?
You must find this job of yours occasionally a little... tedious?
Tedious? I can wait days for a new message to be telegraphed, but you can't ever relax, not for an instant.
Because you must keep your eye on the telegraph post yonder.
Yeah. Just as Jacques on the next hill keeps his eye on me. If it weren't for my garden, I don't know what I'd do.
And the pay for such a responsible job is...
Not worth mentioning, my friend. An insult.
And we may recognise, most honoured friends... This gentleman, who now shields his eyes from the perpetual glare of that bright, unforgiving sun...
And if a person were to appear one day and offer you, I don't know, 60,000 francs...
60,000 francs?
As the Count of Monte Cristo...
And if that person were to request that an unofficial message be conveyed...
Then I'd tell that person that he was talking to the wrong man, my friend.
It's true that the telegraph operator would be dismissed for permitting such a message to be sent, but then he would have 100,000 francs to retire on.
Only today he is attired humbly, as befits a man keen to learn all he can about an elderly telegraph operator's kitchen garden.
There's more than enough there to see you and your wife happy and content until the end of your days.
And the telegraph company?
You would have to underpay a new operator.
Who are you, my friend?
Who I am is of no importance.
And this message would be... What exactly?
Baron Dongla,
what, Michel?
War.
Sorry?
There is war with Spain. It was just announced on the telegraph.
Am I the first to know?
You are, sir.
The information has not yet reached the Bourse.
Not as far as I'm aware.
Then I want you to buy war bonds. 3 million francs worth.
3 million?
Yes, Michel. 3 million.
Won't that attract attention?
Not as much attention as we'll have when we're selling those same war bonds at 400 or 500 times what we paid for them. Nothing says profitable return quite like an international skirmish. Eh, Michel?
And as Baron Dongla, he who, as we well know, along with his accomplice Fernand, falsely denounced the young sailor Edmond Dantès in the old port of Marseille.
Now you're clear about what will happen as soon as this letter is delivered. The consequences.
Dantès will be arrested, Dongla.
25 long years before.
Dantès will be arrested and more than likely thrown in jail for treason.
Then that will be an end to him.
And nobody must ever know.
Risks more than half his fortune on an apparent war with Spain.
Valentine! Valentine!
Two lovers meet clandestinely on either side of a shabby wall at the shadowed end of a garden off the Champs-Élysées.
Here, Maximilian!
Oh, that I could hold you in these arms for just one second, my love.
Don't say that! Please, not today!
What's happened?
Valentine de Villefort is just as beautiful today as she was when we first met her.
The worst has happened. I don't even know how to say this, Maximilian.
Say what?
Tomorrow I am to be... formally engaged to France d'Epinay.
So soon?
My grandfather has disinherited me as a consequence.
Disinherited you?
God forgive me, but I even got down on my knees and prayed that France would get called upon to serve in this war with Spain.
What war with Spain?
Everyone in Paris is speaking of it.
There is no war with Spain. I have just arrived from Marseille.
Then we are lost, my love.
You can imagine my unimaginable and fountainous surprise on hearing the news, my dear Count.
But let us now, most honoured friends, consider a little more closely the perilously thin young man we last saw being chased down an alley in Marseille.
I am very pleased to see you, Andrea.
A man who is now draped inelegantly, draped across an antique chaise longue, smoking an almost equally thin black cigarette.
To think that I, Benedetto Benedetti, a poor boy from the slums of Marseille, is actually related. Actually related by blood to the Cavalcantes of Padua. An impossible dream come true.
From now on, you will not be known as Benedetto Benedetti.
No, Count, no. I shall be known as Andrea. Andrea Cavalcanti. Your man made that very clear.
I have had an apartment prepared, and you shall receive a generous weekly income as befits a young man of means and expectation.
An income?
Is that not acceptable?
Well, I understood there was to be an inheritance of some description.
As I am your legal guardian, you may rest assured that you will receive all that I have led you to expect and more, but you will receive it at my discretion. Now, if these are not terms that you can accept,
I am at your disposal, sir.
Excellent. Then tonight you can meet the parents of the girl I have arranged for you to marry.
Sorry?
Her father's a business associate of mine, Baron Dongla.
Of the banking house?
Tonight at my house, Notoy, we will all dine together. I trust that this is acceptable.
Oh, perfectly so. Perfectly so, my dear Count. Thank you.
However, a word of warning, Andreon.
And for a moment, there is a chill in that faultlessly furnished apartment on the Champs-Élysées.
Yes, Count?
A chill which zigzags its way from the tips of Andrea Cavalcanti's toes to the curled ends of his recently coiffed hair.
Never think to betray me.
Of course not, no. Never, never.
No. Jacopo will show you out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Signor Cavalcanti is leaving.
This way, sir. Until tonight, dear Count.
But now a summer storm hurls lightning across that grey, unsuspecting Parisian sky, sending its citizens scuttling.
Must say that's a fine-looking coat you've got there.
Into densely shadowed doorways.
Thank you.
What's starry, citizen?
Please take your hand off my shoulder, sir.
Have I changed so very much, Benedetto?
I beg your pardon?
Easy to forget, I know. The lock-up in Toulon, the one-armed guard relieving himself twice daily through the bars of our cell.
Oh, no.
At last, a light.
I meant to come back for you, I did.
And I believe you, Benedetto, I believe you.
What do you want, Caderousse?
Caderousse?
One? Yes, want.
Why, we haven't met this gentleman before, have we not?
I don't want anything from you but the pleasure of your company tomorrow afternoon.
When he was the proprietor of a broken-down inn with a rusty sign.
Tomorrow afternoon?
On the dusty road outside Marseille.
Shall we say around three?
Where he murdered his wife.
Don't look so nervous, Benedetto.
For a glittering diamond. A diamond he received in payment for telling an old priest by the name of Busoni the exact circumstances which led to the betrayal and denunciation...
I don't do the thieving anymore, Caderousse.
...of one Edmond Dantès.
I turned my back on all that. Gave it up.
You're an honest man now.
Exactly.
The address is on this paper, Benedetto Benedetti. Now, don't be late, or I might be compelled to let slip a nasty rumour to the owner of that smart-looking townhouse. The Count of Monte Cristo, is it? Ciao.
Caderousse!
And as the sky is clear and the sun dips westward, bathing the streets of Paris in a wash of blinding light,
whoa there! Whoa! Whoa!
A carriage pulls up.
Is this the Count of Monte Cristo's carriage?
Send with his compliments, Monsieur de Villefort. You are Monsieur de Villefort, aren't you?
I am.
De Villefort.
Recognised you from when you came to visit the Count the other week, didn't I, sir?
And where are we going exactly?
He, who you will recall, most honoured friends, some 25 years before, falsely imprisoned the first mate of the Pharaon, one Edmond Dantès, solely because he had about his person a letter addressed to De Villefort's father, the notorious Bonapartist, General Noirtier.
Going, sir?
Yes, man. Going.
A letter which would have exposed his father's part in returning the disgraced Emperor Napoleon back to sovereignty.
Why? To visit the Count of Monte Cristo?
A letter discovered in the hands of a recently denounced young sailor named Edmond Dantès.
Will your wife be joining us, sir?
Yes. Yes, she will. Now the address.
A young sailor whom De Villefort casually condemns, without charge or trial, to a life of torment in the hell of the Chateau d'If, solely in order to protect that same De Villefort's favoured name and hard-won reputation as a loyal and devoted servant of the king.
The address is number 28, Rue de la Fontaine, Auteuil.
Then there is no mistake.
He who disguises his essential poverty of spirit behind the unflinching mask of law.
Sorry?
He who, along with the banker Baron Danglars, awaits to experience the wrath and divinely inspired justice.
Isn't that our carriage, Gerard?
Of the Count of Monte Cristo.
Permit me to open the door for you, madame. Monsieur?
Oh, too kind, too kind.
Perhaps you should go on your own tonight, my dear.
On my own?
Well, I have papers.
Papers?
For the court tomorrow.
Get in the carriage, Gerard.
I beg your pardon.
If you think that I am going to miss an opportunity to dine with the Count of Monte Cristo, then you are very gravely mistaken, monsieur. But what? You think today has been easy for me? Valentine in tears in her room, Edouard distressed and listless, the lawyers arriving.
I know that today has been challenging.
Challenging? Is that what you call it? Challenging. Your father intends to disinherit your daughter. Ruin her.
Please, Eloise.
Because I can think of a number of names written. Challenging is not one of them.
Must we really make a scene on the street?
It's quite at an end. And it's not as if your father will ever instruct those wretched lawyers of his to disinherit Valentine and pass his estate on to our Edouard instead. Oh, no. Your son barely warrants a passing thought, does he? And why has the obscenely wealthy General Noirtier decided to do all this?
Eloise, please.
Why has he decided to ruin your daughter's one, her only, in fact, chance of social advancement?
Not her only.
Because of some idiotic political argument he had with the more than respectable Franz d'Epinay's father 25 years ago. Well, no, Gerard, no. We are going to the Count of Monte Cristo, and we are going to attempt to have a pleasant evening, because I do not think my poor nerves can take much more of a battering now. Please get in the carriage and let us be on our way.
And as he reluctantly joins his wife, Eloise, in the Count's carriage, and as Jacopo cracks the whip and the wheels clackle across the cobbles, the Crown Prosecutor of Paris looks up at the attic window of his father's room, upon which the dying sun now savagely reflects itself on this bright and unseasonably warm evening in early June.
Are we to sit in silence all the way, Dumbledore?
While in another coach, perched on the edge of their exquisitely upholstered seats, the Danglars, Hermine and her husband, the Baron himself, who sits at this moment with his fist at his chin as he stares without seeing at all the bright and lively boulevards they pass on their way.
A false war.
To Auteuil.
Never heard of anyone falsifying a war.
What are you talking about, Danglars?
This fabricated war with Spain.
It's nothing to get so agitated about.
Is it not? Certain gentlemen have lost fortunes buying war bonds today. Fortunes.
What certain? Oh, no.
You know what?
How much have we lost?
I'd sooner not discuss it.
How much?
I said I would sooner not discuss it.
Oh, for God's sake, Danglars.
Finished. Over. Thank you.
Where exactly are we going anyway?
To the Count's house at Auteuil. Told you.
Yes, but where? The address?
Number 28, Rue de la Fontaine.
Rue de la Fontaine?
You familiar with it?
Of course not. No.
But let us observe, most honored friends, her face as she peers out into the fast approaching night and perceive in the paleness of her cheek and the glimpse of panic in her eye.
I am grateful to you, Count, for receiving me at such short notice.
Fear.
A pleasure to see you again, Monsieur Morel.
I come to you with news from Marseille.
Marseille?
Madame Mercedes de Morcerf sends her compliments, monsieur.
They are gratefully received. Is Madame de Morcerf in good health?
As well as can be expected after her recent ordeal. Commander de Morcerf's public disgrace and suicide has cost mother and son most dearly.
And you, Maximilian, how are you?
I am...
You are?
I am... Well, forgive me.
Then something is wrong.
Madame de Morcerf asked me to give you this.
And gently, oh, so very gently, the young officer passes over an exquisitely fashioned rose of blood-red glass.
Madame de Morcerf asked me to deliver this as a token of her appreciation for all that you did for her. Now, with your permission, I will not detain you any longer. I hope you have a most pleasant evening.
Anything I can ever do for you, Maximilian.
Sir.
And as the young man retreats across that shadowy garden, the Count is for a moment transported.
Oh, it's beautiful, Edmund.
To a quiet quayside in Marseille on a glorious summer day.
You like it, Mercedes?
25 years before.
Where on earth did you find such a wonderful thing?
A small shop in Naples. The owner designs them himself.
When we are in our house, I shall keep it where everyone can see it.
Our house?
The house you and I will live in together.
Oh, that house. I'd almost forgotten.
With all our children.
All our children? How many do we have?
Three or four? It depends.
On what?
The size of our garden.
Oh, of course. How foolish.
Oh, and we will grow old in that garden. We'll be like... Oh, we'll be like two old deers holding hands, the sun setting behind us. Oh, I think that I will love you forever, Edmund.
And are you, Mercedes? Are you?
Nothing will ever tear us apart, will it?
Nothing.
Have you a moment, my dear Count?
Monsieur Cavalcanti.
I had a new suit made in honour of tonight's proceedings. See? What a lovely rose.
As great candles are daintily lit.
I see Monsieur Favreau has brought all his tailoring skills to bear as usual.
Their shadows suggesting the broken movements of monsters on that exquisitely manicured lawn.
Is it to your taste?
I prefer my clothes to blend in with their surroundings.
Oh, then you do not like it. Are the cuffs perhaps too lively? The green, too green?
My opinion of your suit is of no importance. It is Baron Danglars and his wife that you must impress tonight.
Yes, of course.
Now, as soon as I have introduced you to the Baron and the Baroness, I would like you to return to Paris.
Return to... Am I not to dine with you?
Is that understood?
Monsieur!
Yes, Jacobo.
The Crown Prosecutor and Madame de Villefort have arrived.
Excellent. And the Danglars?
Are here also.
I must say, Monsieur Cavalcanti, that is a very lively and stylish suit you're wearing.
Do you not like the tailoring, Baron?
I didn't say that, my boy. I did not. Not in any way.
Oh, then may I salvage some reassurance from your recent utterance?
You may. You may indeed, young man.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to join you at dinner this evening.
Not join us?
I must return to Paris on the Count's business.
Is it to do with this phony Spanish war?
Phony? I'm not sure that I take your meaning.
I spoke in haste. Please, banish it from your mind, my dear boy.
Ah, dinner is announced and I must away. Away.
Take my card, Monsieur Cavalcanti.
Oh.
Present yourself at the address there tomorrow, and we shall arrange a formal meeting between Mademoiselle Danglars and your good self.
Oh. I shall live from this moment on only for that moment, Baron.
What on earth is the matter with you tonight,
there
Gerard?
There is nothing the matter.
Is it Valentine?
Yes.
Is it she you are still concerned about?
Yes, it is.
And then it's nothing to do with coming to Otoy?
Of course not. Not at all. No, why would it be?
If only we could talk some sense into that father of yours.
General Noirtier's mind is not to be changed once made up. As well you know, Eloise.
But what's the nature of this political dispute he had with the Depigniers anyway?
I don't know.
You don't know? I thought your father and Depinay were both comrades and allies of Bonaparte.
Both gentlemen were politically misguided, yeah.
Is this why you're so reluctant to discuss it? Because of your father's ancient political sympathies? Honestly, Gerard...
I said I don't know, Eloise. Now, please, can we...
Well, what I do know, for a fact, is that France Depinay is to meet Valentine tomorrow morning at 11, be she disinherited or no.
I think the guests may be gathering
and
right
there. In our drawing room, the pair of them will be formally engaged to be married.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Count politely requests you to take your places at the table.
Andrea Cavalcanti, as I live and breathe.
On a fashionable street corner just off the Champs-Élysées, a young man in a peacock green suit strides confidently toward the front door of his new apartment.
Caderousse.
Why, I see it. Why wait for tomorrow?
Yeah, but...
Yes, but what? Now, let's go inside, as I've little desire to speak my business on a street corner. No matter how select.
I trust that the veal is to your satisfaction, Baron Dongler.
Oh, the veal is delicious. And these quail eggs. Divine. Quite divine.
But something troubles you.
May I depend on your discretion?
At all times.
This business with Spain, this war that never was...
It proves once again that we cannot depend on the accuracy of the telegraph.
Indeed, indeed.
We set such store in these technologies, do we not? But only one thing needs to go awry and... Now, tell me, what has happened?
I'm all but ruined, my dear Count. Black Wednesday, they're calling it.
Ruined?
I invested heavily in war bonds. Half my fortune. Gone. Like that.
Heavens.
Who in their right mind would maliciously start a rumour that we were on the verge of hostilities with a neighbouring power?
Who indeed?
Such a person would have to be criminally perverse.
Of course, as soon as Andrea is married to your daughter, Eugenie, you shall receive double that sum as a mark of the trust and good faith that exists between our two families.
Double?
I hope young Andrea Cavalcanti has made a favourable impression this evening.
Oh, rarely has a young man made one finer, Count.
You didn't think his suit too loud?
I thought the green sublime and in the best possible taste. I'm even thinking of instructing my tailor to make one exactly the same for me.
Then it might be said that you and young Andrea were as peas in a pod.
What are you two gentlemen whispering about up there?
Nothing of any import, Madame de Villefort. I trust that you are enjoying your meal.
It's divine. It's just divine. Isn't it divine, Gerard?
It's very tasty.
And is everything to your satisfaction, Baroness Dongla?
Sorry?
The meal.
Oh, it's lovely. Exquisite. Sorry.
And with the most surreptitious of glances across the table, de Villefort considers the still ravishing Hermine Danglars, who is at this very moment staring, and staring somewhat disconsolately into her saffron-infused bisque.
Now, do tell, Count.
Tell what, Madame de Villefort?
That story you told me. The lovers in the garden. It was here that they met, wasn't it? In this very garden.
Are you all right, Monsieur de Villefort?
It's just sorry, it's nothing. It's really nothing.
Are you sure?
Gerard.
Fetch Monsieur de Villefort some water.
Water.
Excuse me.
If it's money you want, Cadros...
Of course it's money I want. Why else would I be here in these very, very nice apartments, Andrea? Fair play to you.
How much?
Well, given your present circumstances, shall we say 1,000 a month? After all, I only want enough to wet me beak.
1,000 francs?
To start with, yes. Although I do get awful thirsty.
The Count of Monte Cristo will find out.
Well, not if you don't tell him, he won't. And you won't tell him. Because we share the same thought, you and I. I see it in those papers of yours, clear as the Virgin's lonely tears. Now, Andrea, you tell your Uncle Cadrus everything.
He has money scattered everywhere. And diamonds. He has diamonds everywhere.
What do you mean, everywhere?
I mean, everywhere. He leaves them lying about like toffees.
Then what do you say we enter into a partnership of some kind?
Only if we go halves. 50-50.
Done.
And Monte Cristo is dangerous.
I am dangerous.
Not like him, you're not.
Well, then we must be extra, extra careful, mustn't we? Now fetch us over that pen and paper, Benedetto, because I'd like you to draw me a little picture.
If you are quite sure that you do not want a little more water, Monsieur de Villefort...
Thank you. No.
Perhaps it's the heat.
Yes. The heat, perhaps. Yes, perhaps.
It is a little close tonight, isn't it?
Is it, Madame Danglars?
One would have thought after the rain earlier that...
That
That the air would be cooler, less...
oppressive.
Precisely.
Then you are not enjoying the evening.
Oh, far from it, dear Count. The evening is second to none.
Oh, you do me too much honour, madame.
Monsieur de Villefort and I are having a wonderful evening also, aren't we, Gerard?
Yes, it's most diverting, Count.
Now, what was it you were about to say earlier, Madame de Villefort?
I was only mentioning in passing that rather grim story you told me.
Ah, yes.
Story? What story?
Well, perhaps you would like to enlighten us, Madame de Villefort.
Well, Count, thank you again for a very pleasant evening, but unfortunately I think my wife and I should be heading away.
Sit down, Gerard. Now, if I might continue without further interruption.
Please, madame.
Oh, very well. There were two lovers. He, a young widower. She, a young heiress. And they would secretly meet here in this very garden.
Here?
Under those very elms. Imagine.
Is that it?
No. No, far from it. You see, the young heiress fell pregnant. Of course, neither party could afford the ensuing scandal, and so, well... Oh, Count, you had best continue.
And now, as that tight summer dark enshrouds itself about the table, the Count begins.
And so the story goes. On the night of the infant's birth, the panic-stricken father hurries into the garden with the newborn folded in a pale pink blanket.
Ignoring, as if he does not recognize the glance of alarm and fathomless terror which now passes between Hermine Danglars and Crown Prosecutor Gérard de Villefort.
Determined to rid himself of this child.
No.
Yes, Baron, yes. Glancing this way and that to see that he is unobserved, the man quickly takes a spade and starts to dig a hole.
Stop, Count, please. It's too horrible.
A hole which has to be dug deep enough to ensure that all trace of that unloved and unwanted baby is erased from this world forever.
Must we continue with this disgusting story?
I really...
A hole in which he now buries that helpless, innocent alive.
Oh!
Wait, look, she's... Elaine,
speak to me.
Jacob Hall, send for a doctor immediately. Have the carriages prepared to take our guests home.
But let us leave that torch-lit garden in Auteuil and watch, now as once again that bright summer sun rises over the house.
I know that you do not wish to see me, Grandfather, but I will not allow you to cast me out.
Away.
Of de Villefort.
Go.
I will not go, for I am just as stubborn as you, and I will give you this.
Mwah! As Valentine seeks solace in the company of her grandfather.
Oh, this engagement to Franz d'Épinay is not of my doing. I don't know what you may have heard, but I have had no part in it.
Him? Love?
Of course not.
Swear?
I swear to you that I have not even met, let alone know, that gentleman. You didn't imagine that I would fall in love with a d'Épinay, did you?
Disinherit!
What do I care if you have disinherited me, Grandfather? You will never kill the love and affection I have for you. Never. So do your worst, stroke or no stroke.
Valentine. Valentine.
Oh, do not cry, Grandfather, please.
Let us reacquaint ourselves with a man you will remember, most honoured friends, as the father of Gérard de Villefort.
Lovely. Lovely.
The redoubtable Bonapartist and timeless thorn in the side of his dutiful son's political ambitions.
You are the only person in this house I can honestly open my heart to, Grandfather.
General Jacques Noirtier.
And you must know that my heart will always belong to another, no matter how many suitors my father and stepmother supply for me.
Another?
I have wanted to tell you about him for so long. He is an officer in the army.
Huh? Love?
I love him with all my heart, Grandfather. With all my heart. See? Now I am weeping also.
Out!
What?
Out! Stairs! Down!
But, Franz Stepigny will be arriving to formalise the engagement within the hour.
Stairs! Down! Stairs! Down!
You buried the child alive?
Did anybody see you arrive at the office?
Answer the question, Gerard, because last night was without question the worst of my life.
What choice did I have?
Oh, sweet Jesus, forgive us.
Amin.
You said you gave the baby away. You swore
I didn't,
to me.
I didn't want to. I had to burden you.
Burden me? Burden me?
Please, Amin. Please. We must not draw attention to ourselves. Anybody
How
could come in.
How can this be happening to us?
Last night was as much an ordeal for me as for you.
You murdered our baby, Gerard.
No.
Yes. Does that not concern you?
Well, of course it concerns.
Oh, God. Oh, God, I think I'm going out of my mind. Who is this Count of Monte Cristo?
Nobody knows. He's materialised out of thin air.
But you were the Crown Prosecutor. Have some inquiries made.
I have done that. I've already done that.
And?
Well, there is a gentleman currently residing in Paris who has had some prior dealings with him. One Abbé Busoni.
And have you approached him?
I shall be calling on him this morning. Now, please, Amin. We will be all right. I promise.
Hold me.
Yes.
I need you to hold me.
Yes.
How our lives might have been different if we had only...
Oh, don't, I mean... Please, please.
Monsieur!
Is that your wife?
The side door. Quickly.
You will visit that gentleman today, won't you?
Yes, yes, yes. Now, please, please. Come.
Oh, Gerard. I'm so sorry to disturb you.
Eloise.
It's a catastrophe. A catastrophe.
Whatever's happened?
Your father has disgraced us all.
Monsieur Cavalcanti, what a delightful surprise.
If I have come at an inconvenient time to your office...
You could never inconvenience me, my dear, dear fellow. Never. Why, it's as if you're already a part of the family.
You do me too much honour, sir.
Won't you join us in the garden? We were just taking tea. This way.
Just so that I can be clear in my mind, let us go over it again. Monsieur Depigny came to the house to formalise the engagement as was arranged.
Yes. Yes.
And you were waiting for him, Valentine?
Yes, Father. General Noirtier also.
Insist.
You insisted, did you, Father?
Marriage. Stop.
Oh. Yes, General, you stopped it all right. Stopped it for good. Dishonoured us and dishonoured the good name of Depigny.
Thank you, Eloise.
Not enough that all the enormous wealth of this family is in the name of Noirtier. Oh, no. You must hold your own grandchildren to ransom.
I said enough. Now, Valentine, if you would.
Monsieur Depigny stood by the fireplace, and before he could make his formal proposal, Grandfather produced this letter and asked me to read it.
I should never have permitted it. Never.
May I have the letter?
Of course.
It is dated February 1815.
And it is from Franz Depigny's father, Colonel Depigny. He has even signed it, see?
No, there's some mistake.
Mistake? No. Traitor, Depigny.
Colonel Depigny was a royalist double agent.
Yes.
Your old comrade smuggled this letter to you.
Yes.
And it goes on to detail how Colonel Depigny tortured Grandfather and caused his
stroke.
Oh, no. No.
And your father has kept that wretched letter locked away all these years, just waiting for the moment to spring it on us unawares. For shame, old man, for shame!
You are not improving the situation, Eloise.
But there is still more bad news contained within this
letter. I think your father has heard enough for one day, Valentine.
Which is?
Apparently, according to what is written here, Colonel Depigny discovered he had an advantage over Grandfather when Grandfather failed to receive a warning which would have exposed Colonel Depigny's villainy. A warning sent via the trading ship the Pharaon, which must have been intercepted and destroyed by the authorities in Marseille.
destroyed by the authority?
Yes, Father.
And at that moment, the Crown Prosecutor is transported...
I have this letter, sir, addressed to one General Noirtier.
To his old office in Marseille. And a young, long-forgotten sailor denounced for treason.
Have you opened this letter? Tampered with it in any way?
No, sir.
25 long years before.
Then you have no idea of the contents contained herein. I need not remind you of the dire consequences facing you if you lie.
I do not, sir.
Would it surprise you to know that this letter proves that there is a very real plot to restore the traitor Napoleon as Emperor of France? As well as timely warnings to those closely associated with the intrigue.
It would, sir. Completely.
Now, here is what I'm going to do for you. First of all, I'm going to burn this letter. A letter you are going to forget you ever had in your possession. Is that clear?
If Grandfather had only received that letter, then all his terrible suffering might have been avoided.
And with a jolt, the Crown Prosecutor of Paris is once again confronted by the innocent, insistent gaze of his daughter.
Whatever may be written here is no proof that any other letter was ever sent for or indeed ever existed.
Valentine.
Then why is it clearly referred to here?
Well, all that we can know for sure is that the marriage between you and Franz d'Epinay cannot proceed under these circumstances.
Which is why we are dishonoured, monsieur, quite dishonoured.
And for de Villefort, it is as if 1,000 bees are suddenly...
Now, I'm sorry, but there is some urgent business I must attend to immediately. Excuse me.
Swarming.
You're not leaving.
We shall discuss this further this evening.
Justice done.
I'm sorry, Father, sincerely, for any suffering you may have endured at the hands of Colonel d'Epinay. It was and remains entirely unacceptable. Good day.
Well, I hope you're pleased with yourself, old man. Because you have not only disinherited Valentine from her dowry, you have also just guaranteed that nobody in polite society will ever marry her.
Inherit?
It's a bit late to re-inherit her now.
Edward.
What did you say?
Do you intend to rewrite your will?
Inherit. Both.
Both? If this is one of your tricks, General.
Lawyer. Lawyer!
I think Grandfather is serious.
So what are you waiting for, girl? Go! Oh. And send the footman to fetch a lawyer! And hurry!
I cannot tell you what a pleasure it is to make your acquaintance at last, Monsieur Cavalcanti.
The pleasure is all mine, Baroness Danglars. All mine. And may I say, your garden is exquisite. Oh. Why, it almost surpasses the Count of Monte Cristo's at Auteuil.
Yes. Well,
that may be true, monsieur, that may very well be true, but I can assure you there is no rose in the Count's garden as precious as the one you see sitting in the arbor yonder.
Oh. Can this vision be Mademoiselle Danglars herself?
Eugénie?
Yes, mother?
There's a young gentleman here your father and I would like to introduce you to.
So, Monsieur Cavalcanti, what instrument do you play?
Music has not, to date, played the part in my life I had hoped, Mademoiselle Danglars. Or may I call you Eugénie?
But has not the Count of Monte Cristo seen to your education?
Oh, the Count and I were separated for many, many years. I was a lost babe in the wood, so to speak.
And the tattoo on your wrist? Most unusual.
A childish prank.
Done to resemble a prison number.
A prison number? The very idea.
Well, Monsieur Cavalcanti, it has been a very enlightening afternoon.
Must you leave so soon?
My teacher, Mademoiselle d'Amélie, awaits me.
Oh, a charming young lady, if I may say so.
No, you may not say, Monsieur.
Forgive me, Mademoiselle Danglars, but are you and the young lady especially, how shall we say, close?
What an impertinent question.
You see, I have observed that look in only a few of my female acquaintances.
And what look would that be?
Oh, I think you know it very well.
Is everything all right over there, Eugenie?
Everything is lovely, Father.
Excellent.
I cannot imagine which class of boulder my father lifted to discover you, Monsieur Cavalcanti. But rest assured, I shall never agree to marry you.
And there, dear Eugenie, is where you are very wrong. For I believe the Count and Baron Danglars have already, to coin a vulgar phrase, close the deal.
Abbé Busoni.
But let us turn, most honoured friends, to Monsieur de Villefort and his somewhat impromptu visit to the house of Abbé Busoni, which just so happens to be located next door to his own.
At your service, Monsieur de Villefort.
Well, I shall come straight to the point, if I may.
Please.
The Count of Monte Cristo.
A man struggling with his conscience.
Why? What has he done?
What has he not done?
Not done?
If only he would give more to the poor children of Paris. But he says he does what he can and can do no more.
And of course you are quite correct, most honored friends. We have met this Abbé Busoni before. And detected in his somewhat grizzled stare the unmistakable eyes of one...
Then he is mean?
Count of Monte Cristo.
On the contrary, he is generosity itself, but generosity, according to him, must have its limits.
But you trust him?
With my life.
Oh, thank you, Abbé Busoni. Thank you.
You seem burdened with woes, my son. Pray with me.
Oh, I would like that, but I must...
Ah, well, monsieur, another time.
Excuse me.
Still, it is not as if you have far to go, is it?
We shall see each other again, I hope.
You may depend upon it.
Cadroche.
You're late.
I had a prior engagement.
With the Count?
With my fiancée. But the Count and all his entourage is definitely in Paris today. Definitely.
You're certain?
Aren't you going to congratulate me?
Congratulations. Now, to the best of your knowledge, the Auteuil house is completely empty.
Gone deaf, have we?
Mess this up and I'll slit your throat, Benedetto.
Yeah, mess this up and it's both our throats. Now get climbing.
The ivy's coming off and you're...
Go!
Monsieur de Villefort, how very glad we are to see you. Isn't that right, Hermine?
You are most welcome, sir.
I trust that you have fully recovered from last night, madame.
I said no! I
Perhaps you had best see what's wrong, husband.
Yes, perhaps I should, if you will excuse me, monsieur.
Well?
I spoke to Abbé Busoni.
And?
Well, he has assured me that apart from some mild eccentricities, the Count of Monte Cristo is quite benign. Now, the best thing we can do is to forget all about last night.
Behaving like a horrible prima donna, Eugenie.
Get away from me!
I see that I've come at a most inconvenient time.
I shall never forgive you for what you did, Gerard.
And now, in an apparently empty house in Auteuil, a window splinters, and an intruder clambers cautiously into a normally airy room, darkened now...
Unfortunately, I have no diamonds for you tonight, my son.
The shadow...
Abbé Busoni!
You're a little thinner, perhaps, Cadrousse, but otherwise hardly changed in 10 years.
This is not possible.
I assume that you were intending to rob the Count of Monte Cristo.
How could you have known? Well, was it Benedetto told you, was it?
Benedetto?
No, because he's not what he seems, that one. I mean, you can take the man out the sewer, but you can't take the sewer out of the man, if you know what I mean.
All too well. But why did you come to Paris if not to seek young Benedetto out?
I never sought him out.
I assume that you planned to extort him. How much?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Come, Caderousse. No need for coyness. You're in enough trouble as it is.
1,000 francs.
But that was clearly not enough. Just as a diamond worth 50,000 francs was not enough, was it?
Look, why don't I just go back the way I came and we forget that this
ever... Quite the coincidence. Two old cellmates from Toulon running into one another. Most fortuitous.
How can you know all this?
The Count of Monte Cristo has told me everything. Now, I'm afraid I shall have to tell Baron Danglars that the young man to whom he has just engaged his daughter is in league with a notorious thief.
By the devil! Take this!
Perhaps your knife is a little blunt, monsieur.
Are you listening, Caderousse?
You're breaking me arm!
What is this you have in your hand? Is it a plan of the house?
Your Benedetto drew it.
Just come over here.
Stop. I'm begging you. Please.
You see the pen and paper there?
What about them?
There's a little note I want you to write.
What kind of a note?
After you've done that, you are indeed going to climb out of that window, leave Paris immediately, and swear to live the life of an honest man. If you do this, then you will receive a generous salary from the Count of Monte Cristo until the end of your days. Are we clear?
We're clear!
Good. Now write.
Is it not the most wonderful news, Gerard?
It is.
In the house of de Villefort this evening...
Yes, it is.
There is a sense of uneasy celebration.
Your father is to leave his fortune to both Valentine and Edouard.
We shall send the boy to thank him tomorrow.
Perhaps it was for the best, after all. This business with the d'Epinays. Although, who will want poor Valentine now?
Valentine is not responsible for any of this.
But mud sticks.
Not to the de Villeforts.
To think that our own dear, sweet, wonderful boy will never have to worry about money again. Imagine, heir to his grandfather's inestimable fortune.
Along with Valentine?
Of course.
Well, it would seem then that we're all very lucky.
Someone has cheered up.
I think I shall retire.
Eloise?
I shall be with you shortly. I must just prepare some warm chocolate for Valentine.
Well, that's most considerate of you, my dear. But can't one of the servants...
I know how much she likes it.
But what do we perceive in her wide, happy smile, most honoured friends?
Good night.
What?
Good night.
Villainy.
Good night.
Andrea! Where are you, Andrea?
I'm here, Caderousse.
Then help me down. Be careful, man.
Did you get us any diamonds?
You said the house was empty.
It is.
Then what was Abbé Bassoni doing there?
Abbé who?
Let's just keep going, shall we?
Are you saying there was someone in there?
Gone deaf, have we?
What did you say to him?
Nothing.
Then why can't you look me in the eye?
Can we please just get out of here?
Lead the way.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, Caderousse.
What?
I forgot to give you this.
What are you... Help! Murder!
Stand back!
Caderousse.
You're not Abbé Bassoni. Who are you?
I am the Count of Monte Cristo. And before that, you knew me as Dantès.
What?
Edmond Dantès. The man you did nothing to save, despite knowing in every detail the mendacious plot to denounce him.
But Abbé Bassoni promised me that if I went home and left Paris tonight...
Exactly. He said if I let you go in order to leave your miserable fate to God, and God chose for you to die, just as you chose to leave Dantes to his fate.
you let me go.
Goodbye, Cadrus.
Dantes. Dantes.
Valentine.
It's time to stop reading now.
Yes, stepmother.
Quite a day for us, all things considered.
Is father still very angry?
No. And you know that I would very much like us to be friends, my dear.
I should like that too.
We should have no secrets from one another. None.
I'd like that very much, stepmother.
Now, drink this.
Thank you.
And don't worry, dear Valentine. I shall stay here at your side until you have finished every last drop.
In The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas, adapted by Sebastian Bonchkevich, the Count is played by Ian Glenn, Aide by Jane Lapoterre, Gérard de Villefort by Paul Rees, Héloïse de Villefort by Kate Fleetwood, General Noirtier by Carl Johnson, and Valentine by Lizzie Watts. Baron Danglars is Toby Jones. Hermine Danglars, Stephanie Racine. Eugénie, Eleanor Crooks. Fernand, Zubin Varla. And Mercedes, Josette Simon. Cadrus is played by Ben Crowe. Andrea Cavalcanti by Will Howard. Bertuccio by Paul Stonehouse. Max Morel by Adam Nagaitis. And Jacopo by Joe Sims, with Robert Blythe and Sarah Tom. The music is by David Tobin and Jeff Megan, and the directors are Jeremy Mortimer and Sasha Yevtushenko.